Thank you for tuning in once again to another broadcast of Keys to Life Ministries. I'm your host and speaker, Minister Carey, and we bid you a very, very good day. We hope and pray that your day is blessed and that God still has his hand upon your life, your family, and everything that your hand and heart has the inspiration to do and to hold. We just pray that God is blessing. And friends, this is the season for blessing. As you know, the holidays are coming up upon us. Some of us will be celebrating Thanksgiving this month. Some countries celebrated Thanksgiving in October. And then there is the Christmas season in the month of December, which is just a few weeks away. And so we have here coming upon us very quickly this season of joy and blessing. And we want to talk a little bit about that today, because we are, as a people of God, we are uniquely blessed. That's what separates us from others, and that is that we have the hand of God upon us. We have the Holy Spirit within us, as well as leading us and guiding us on a daily basis. We have grace and mercy following us, as recorded in the Psalms by David, and that is all the days of our lives. So, friends, we have some great benefits. And if we would recognize just how special we are in the eyes of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, we would have a better idea of who we are as people of God, members of the community of faith. We are certainly special and cared for and loved. And God expresses that in very, very many ways. And so we want to encourage you, friends, to just allow us to minister to you today and encourage your hearts and to give you something to smile about today. Is that okay? We want to read from Psalm 103, and we want to discuss some of the scriptures that we're about to read to you. And it starts out with verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. Verse 8, the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Verse 13, like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. As for man, His days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his commandments to do them. The Lord hath prepared his throne in heaven, and his kingdom ruleth all over. Blessed is the Lord, ye his angels, that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Bless ye the Lord, all ye hosts, ye ministers of his, that do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Now, those were a lot of encouraging words, friends. And the entire book of Psalms 103, it talks about and speaks about the blessings of God and how many different ways he executes righteousness and how he takes care of us and in so many ways. And we ought to be thankful for that, because that is just the unmerited favor. That is the grace that God extends to them who acknowledge his Son and they are brought to the Father by way of the Son. You know, we have benefits on our places of employment. You know, when we're hired net new and we're onboarded, we typically want to know more from the HR department about the benefits package. Regarding insurance or dental for me and my husband or my wife or my children. What kind of benefits do you offer here at this place? And then what they'll do is they'll go over the different options with you and the different payment plans that you can select from. Well, with God, friends, we have this benefits package neatly wrapped up in love. And it's extended to us by the grace of God when we become the children of God. And I said this to one person earlier today. We're all God's children, yes, but we're all not children of God. Because there are a lot of people, friends, that have the tendency to want to acknowledge that there is no God, or that they don't want to acknowledge the Son of God. There are different people from different faiths, different cultures, different backgrounds, who just don't agree with the God first principle and the Holy Writ, the Bible, and the words that were handed down to humanity. I refer to this in many broadcasts as the Bible being God's love letter to the human family. And if we acknowledge God and we acknowledge the words of the Bible, the words of this holy book, the only holy book that has ever been written, translated in languages, so many different languages throughout the earth, so that everyone will know and understand who God is, will hear the message of the Son, Jesus Christ, and have some sort of spiritual acknowledgement of the Spirit of God that dwells among the hearts of men. We can also remember that not only do we have the benefits, friends, but there's something that we have to do in order to obtain the benefits. when we come to Christ and we allow ourselves to be humbled and we accept Christ as our personal Savior and He becomes the captain of our salvation and He becomes the bishop of our soul and we become the friend of God, then that opens up all of the possibilities that we never knew existed before we were introduced to the Son of God. And you'll learn more and more and more as often as you read the Bible. You'll read about benefits in the Old Testament, benefits in the New Testament. And one of the benefits that I can mention in the New Testament is where John wrote, "Beloved, I would," he said that, "I would that thou wouldest prosper and be in good health, even as thy soul doth prosper." So as your soul's prospering, that brings prosperity from other streams, blesses your life in other ways, and covenant relationships will even magnify that even more. And I had a discussion just the other day with a friend of mine regarding the only scripture in the Bible where God says, "Try me in this thing." And that was in the book of Malachi. And it had to do with spiritual giving, paying tithes and offerings to the Lord. Not that you're just giving it to a church or to a organization, but you're giving it to God because God sees everything you do. And He understands and He does know the intent of your heart. And I think that it's important that we all realize and understand that what we do for God, it's not as if we're doing this because we're expecting something in return from God. What we expect, friends, as a result of our obedience, is the promises of God. And there is nothing at all wrong with that. If God says, "Try me in this thing, give the tithe, and I'll open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing where you won't even have room to receive it," that is only operating under the spirit of obedience, as well as trusting in God, having faith on display, doing that thing which you think makes absolutely no sense to do, and you feel as though you're going to lose out on something that really doesn't make a whole lot of difference anyway. Money is money, and it's filthy lucre, but we need it, and God knows exactly what we need. He knows why we need it. He knows that we can't survive without it. And so He came up with a formula for us so that we can be taken care of, because if we enter into a covenant relationship with God regarding our finances, then He is going to make sure that we have everything that we need, especially those things that we need to acquire for the basic essentials and staples for living. And that is something that I really wholeheartedly believe. I do not believe that we are to enter into financial relationships with anybody, any church body or any person. We establish covenant relationships with God because that is one of the things that He said that He honors. And He says He's going to take care of us. And He says, "Listen, trust me in this thing. Just do it." So we say we honor God, we say we love God, we say we fear God, and we say we worship God. And so we ought to do that with everything that we have. And we have three T's. That's the letter T. And one is with the giving of our time, the giving of our talent, and the giving of our tithe. We are not to withhold the tithe. If there's no way that you can have your hand open to receive a blessing from God if you have your fist clenched and will not release that thing unto God first. As you release your faith, you start to receive more grace from God. As you open up your hand to the poor and you give your tithe and offering to the house of the Lord, then you will receive back into your bosom. And that's just the formula. That's just how it works. No, God is not he's not the heavenly stockbroker or banker or anything like that. But everything here belongs to God. There is nothing, friends, that when you look around and you put your eyes on everything, everything belongs to God. In the beginning, God. Everything else came after that. Whether good or whether bad, whether evil, everything came after that. So including money and finances, silver and gold, it all comes from the Lord. And the Lord is our divine provider, and He is faithful. I just want you to understand one thing, and that is that God is faithful. And we can trust God with everything that we have, even our children. And I do. I'm forced to, because, you know, the only child I have is 2,000 miles away. So I have to trust that the Lord is protecting him and keeping his hand upon his life, steering him in the right directions. He's still a little kid, but he's a good kid. He has a heart after his father and the father. He's a very good boy. And the benefits of God, friends, they come from so many different directions. You'll have blessings coming from acquaintances and friends, and the Lord will open up the doors of new opportunities that you never knew existed for you. The Lord will bless you in ways that you're not even thinking that, because you're in this covenant relationship, you might not even know that God protected you from something that would have been detrimental to your body. Something that had the potential to happen to your son or your daughter. But God knows the beginning of a thing from the ending of a thing from the beginning, and He made that thing not happen because my child is in a covenant relationship with me, and that covers a whole lot more than just their finances. And I'm not going to use this entire segment to talk about that. I just think that it's very important that you understand that. It's a principle of living. Give and ye shall receive. That's what it says. There's also scriptures that says, ask and you will receive. But you have to be in the right position to ask. You can't come into my dad's house and just walk in the front door and open up his refrigerator and look for something that looks palatable to you and just take it out and sit down and start eating it. That's not going to be a good idea. I know my dad. And you can't do the same with the Holy Father. You have to be in the family of faith. You have to be a child of God in order to operate in the grace that God extends to those that are his to enjoy the benefits of God. For God said in Malachi, "For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Even from the days of your fathers, ye are gone away from mine ordinances and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye said, wherein shall we return? Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee in tithe and offerings? Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithe into the storehouse, that there shall be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it." So again, God says, try me in this thing. Don't be cursed. And that doesn't mean cursed as a person being a castaway. But what we do by not bringing the tithe, the offering to the Lord, our finances are cursed. That doesn't necessarily mean that your revenue streams are stopped, but you're stopping the potential for your revenue streams to be broadened. And God will broaden your revenue streams so that you can continue to help many other people. And that is just the formula, and that's the way God does these things, friends. And I just want you to know that it's not a bad thing for you to have a healthy bank account. It's not a bad thing for you to live in a nice house and to wear nice clothes. But we just don't want to become so material where we become, sort of sedity and have our heads up in the air further than we should, because God wants us to express the spirit of humility, a humble heart. During these times is something that's very difficult to see in people. A humble spirit, a graceful tongue, with blessings without cursings. As we move closer and closer to the end of God's timeline, we are exhorted that, you know, the heart of man will become even more desperately wicked and colder each day. It's getting cold in the hearts of men. People are not as massaged around the heart to where they can't even express themselves in a way that's graceful and inviting. Everyone's so protective, and I think it's just a spirit of fear that everyone has that, you know, inspires them to be so closed and not to be approachable. But, you know, friends, where we are today, we're in a really good place. Because when we see all these things, and we know what the record says, we know that the coming of the Lord is near. For the word says, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus shall God bring with him." And this is from 1 Thessalonians 4, Okay? So this is verse 15. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Well, friends, this is Minister Carey from Keys to Life Ministries. And we want to thank you for tuning in to today's broadcast. We thank you for always being with us, sharing with us. And we're hoping to add more countries at the end of this month. We'll send you that report next month. But we are definitely doing very well, and we're getting the message out. And we're hoping and praying that God's richest and best be yours. So we release you into the joy of the Lord. This is Minister Carey with Keys to Life Ministries, bidding you a very, very good day.